This is the Dame, the Dame. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace to everybody all over the globe. I wanted to give you a short introduction about my guest on this week's show, who at the time when we were filming the show, he was with me. He was very buoyant, happy, excited, as you can see, to share, to get out there. And this is what he lived for, propagating the truth. He was an advocate of peace, calling people to peace, calling people to the purpose of life. He was somebody who was out there working for humanity to make the world a better place. And it's sad to say that he has passed away. And I send my condolences to his family. So when you're watching the show, think about it. Think about this man who at that time was alive. And he was at the peak and the pinnacle of his life. But now he's gone. He's left. He's left this life. But he left behind some wonderful work, something that will carry on with him into the next life. He left a mountain of good deeds. May Allah accept it from him. May the Creator accept it from him. May his family continue his legacy of sharing this message of peace with the world. So we ask that the Creator grants him Jannah. May everybody make dua for him. And really think, when you're watching the show, that death, he didn't expect that it would come at that time. But it came, and it's coming for all of us. So let us live a righteous, a good, pious life, a life of morality, a life that is on the oneness of the Creator, doing good, calling people to good, and living in peace, and sharing this message of peace with the world. Enjoy this week's show. Thank you.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Dean Show. I'm Eddie, your host, and today we're going to be talking about something that's very, very important. You already agree, and we've covered this in so many shows, but we always are very excited and anticipating there's a lot of not yet Muslims who are tuning on for the first time. So Islam is based on five pillars, the most important of which is that you establish a direct connection with the one who created you. That's the one God, the same God of Jesus, Abraham, Noah, Moses, and the last and final messenger sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad. Peace be upon him. Now, once we establish the first pillar and the rest of them, we also, at the same time, have to be perfecting our manners. And that's what we're going to be talking about today here on The Dean Show with my special guest, Imam Mustafa Zaid. When we come back, sit tight.
Everybody, in deep down, they believe that there is a God.
Yeah.
And as much as they deny it.
If God exists, and he does. If God sends prophets, and he does. If God reveals books, and he does. Should he not tell me how to live my life? Doesn't that make sense?
They feel more secure and safe now inside the religion of Islam than they ever felt out in the streets.
The best way to bring true profound happiness, true profound peace, true profound tranquility is by following the guidance that God has given.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
See for yourself what Islam has to say, because it really is the path to happiness and truth in life.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
Peace be with you.
Thank you, brother.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Now, you said something in Arabic. Now, see, people are like, Eddie, you keep repeating these same things. But look, I know the Muslims know these words, but I love those who are our brothers in humanity, yes, who we want to be our brothers in faith. And they hear, yes, some Arabic words. Please define what you said. You said, Alhamdulillah, Assalamu alaikum.
I said, praise be, or thanks be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator of heavens and earth. And I say, Jazakallahu khairan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you well, which is the best reward of them all. The reward from our Creator to us, inshallah.
Now keep, you know what, just keep sending the non-Muslims to the Dean Show because they get a free Arabic class at the same time.
Yes.
And they get to learn about
by
the most,
default.
By default. And they get to learn about the most misunderstood way of life. But isn't it the fastest growing way of life in the world today, Islam?
Absolutely. There was a statistic by CNN for the past 18 years, not one single religion or a denomination of one religion grew in America, period. There was only one religion, that was Islam, and it doubled in size.
Doubled?
Doubled.
That's amazing.
The past 18 years.
Now, with all the hype, negative media publicity? I mean, what's going on here? I mean, did the Muslims pay off? Did some of these big sheikhs pay off to CNN?
Absolutely, to the contrary. Some of our good American brothers actually, sometimes they are incensed about what they hear about in the media about Islam, and they go, let me go to the library and see what is that, you know, religion they're talking about. And the more they read without any middlemen, without any bias or people of special interest, they understand the truth of religion and they understand Islam and they embrace Islam. Never one time in the past 20 years that there was hype against Islam that was not accompanied by a higher ratio of Americans accepting Islam.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. And manners is what we're talking about today.
Yes, yes.
Manners. Define manners in Islam. What is it? How important are good manners, behavior in Islam?
If there's anything more important than the manners of Islam, is actually the certification of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, defined it better than anyone else. He said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لُؤْتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I was only sent to complete the most noble of manners. The entire message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his struggle over 23 years was about completing the best of manners. Manners in Islam is not my perception of good or wrong, right or wrong, my intentions or my idea of what is good or what's to be done. It's how practically I prove my belief in God in dealing with every living entity around me, even animals.
Even animals?
Even animals. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade his companions to have a standstill conversation while they're riding their horses. Horses that are bred and fed and raised to carry people. Mm-hmm. He forbade his companion sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have a conversation. You can have that conversation on your foot while you impose your weight on the backs of horses.
Wow.
He would be walking and a cat trying to drink from a pot of water, and the level of the pot is higher than the cat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would kneel down, tilt the pot, till the cat finishes drinking and walks away, and then he would continue walking. So the religion of Islam is about your behavior. It's not about my good intentions or my perception of peace and love and compassion. It's how I apply that and how I fear my Creator in dealing with His creations on a daily basis. Our Islam is founded in the masjid, but it's practiced outside the masjid with everyone, Muslim, non-Muslims, even animals.
Now, you mentioned some examples, some beautiful examples of manners, I mean behavior towards animals.
Yes.
What about now towards fellow human beings?
Prophet Muhammad ﷺ defined a Muslim by a very simple definition. A Muslim is the one whom people, all people, Muslim, non-Muslims or animals, are safe from his hand and his tongue.
Now elaborate on that. What does that mean? From his hand? What,
and his
from
tongue.
Getting a slap upside the
no,
head?
Or? No, a hand means stealing anything that the hand can do.
Anything the hand can
even
do.
Even if you send an email that backbiting someone.
That's
anything that can be of harm to human beings or live beings around you. That is, if people are safe from that from you, then that's the definition of a Muslim.
Because the hand can do a lot of bad. You can
absolutely
smack someone upside the head.
And you, actually, you can, if you think about it, your tongue and your hand are, yeah, the main tools for interacting with people.
Yeah.
It's how you affect other people.
Yeah.
One thing that I want to bring not only our Muslim brothers, but non-Muslims also. The Holy Quran, the one final untampered with word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Which version of the Quran?
There's only one version.
Only one.
The only holy scripture in the same original language, the same way that was revealed to the Prophet from Archangel Gabriel, given to people exactly as it is for the past 1400 years, that is the Quran.
Is this a living miracle?
It's Quran? Absolutely is. Absolutely is. The same exact words from Archangel Gabriel as revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are in your hands in a life language that is called Arabic that you can learn not right now.
Wow, that's another topic of itself, but go ahead, please.
But in that miracle that you just mentioned of a holy scripture, the most repeated phrase in the entire Quran is 55 times. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّلِحَاتِ. Those who believed and did righteous deeds based on that belief.
Those who believe
and did righteous deeds upon that belief.
Now the belief, real quickly, what is that belief?
One mighty God.
One mighty God.
You believe in all His prophets, the original scriptures that were sent to them, in the angels of God, hellfire, judgment day, paradise, and the faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written with Him for every single creation of His in the Kitab Mubin when he created the universe.
And then you said you follow it up with action. That's the
with
good deeds.
Action, yes.
Talk is cheap.
So exactly. Not the perception of good and bad, not the emotions that I have in my heart and love and compassion, but how I apply that practically when I deal with people. If I truly believe in God and the room is empty and I can do haram, I can steal, I can cheat, I can lie, and nobody's watching, and I stop myself, I said, no, God is there, God is watching me, I would stop in fear of God. That is belief.
That's a good deed too then, right?
Absolutely.
Because maybe your desire wanted to do something bad,
but you stop yourself and control yourself from doing what yourself likes, but in fear and obedience to your Creator.
Isn't that, in Arabic, jihad?
Yes.
Striving against the
striving
evil inclination.
Against yourself. Yeah, absolutely. And the highest, you know, and that's one of the biggest misceptions about Islam is jihad, striving. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ asked, what is the best kind of jihad? Because in the Quran, you can do things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, strive with your money, with your knowledge, and so. So he was asked, what is the best kind? He said, a word of truth to a tyrannical ruler.
Wow. Let's take a break, and we'll be back for more here on the Deen Show. Peace.
What happened to my best friend? I don't see him here. In Jannah, Allah opens a window so he can see his friend in hell. He looks at his friend, doesn't say, you okay, can I pull you out? He doesn't say that. He said, man, you almost took me to the party with you. You're the one who used to crack jokes with me about religion. You're that guy. And then, now imagine this guy who's in Jannah looking at this and saying, oh, thank God I didn't listen to you. Because for a second there, I was thinking about it. He just saw hellfire. So he comes back into Jannah, and it's like he just got here for the first time. The words in the Quran are amazing. أَفَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَيِّتِينَ Are we not going to die anymore? Really? But wait, he already knew that. He's in Jannah. But when he saw a glimpse of hellfire, the most beautiful thing you could appreciate about Jannah, first and foremost, like it's a reintroduction to Jannah, what's the first thing he says? We're not going to die anymore. We're not going to be tortured. There's no more pain. That's the second thing he appreciates. Why? Because he just saw what pain looks like. SubhanAllah.
Back here on the Deen Show with Imam Mustafa Zaid, all the way from New Jersey. How are things out there?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah.
All right. Thank you very much again for making the time to come to be with us.
Actually, thank you for having me.
Thank you. So we're talking about good manners, good behavior, and if the Muslims, if we would live like the last and final messenger, his sunnah, his way, more people would be coming to Islam, more people, we'd have less problems. But it's because of our lack of good behavior, mannerisms, not
yes.
following the blueprint, we're in a mess.
Yes.
So
yes.
Tell us now, define for me good manners, not according to what we perceive good manners being, but as to what all the prophets, Moses, Jesus, Noah, and the last and final message of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, what he defined and they defined good manners as being.
That's a good question. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined good manners in three parts.
Yes.
And you'd be surprised. The first part is, guess what?
What's that?
Bastul wajh. To have a lenient, smiling, laughing face. Mm-hmm. He was described by his wife, Sayyidah Aisha, he was the most laughing and smiling and welcoming of all faces.
We should smile more.
Absolutely.
All right.
A lot of the brothers confuse their seriousness about their deen, that they have to have a grim and serious and, you know, face. They're emulating someone. That one is not Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is also very good when you are with people that do not know you. That's how they know that, you know what, this is someone that I can talk to. This is someone who might be courteous and helpful to me. The second part is kafful adha. Some people translate that wrong into not harming people. No, it's stopping yourself from harming people. When you can harm people, when you're able to avenge and retaliate and you stop yourself, you say, for the sake of God, I'm not going to hurt and I'm going to forgive and I'm going to pardon. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ once was walking. And a Bedouin who was obviously new to Islam, that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ did not know him whatsoever, came from behind Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, held them from his clothes, and shoved them so violently to the right that the clothes of the Prophet ﷺ made a mark on his flesh. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was the most powerful man in the Arabic Peninsula. When there was a battle, the bravest of them all used to hide behind him for protection.
Amazing.
Prophet Muhammad ﷺ could physically split the man into two pieces. What would he do? He smiled at the man, and told the companion standing next to him, give him from the Muslim treasury. The man was yelling at the Prophet, give me from the money of God that he gave you. He was asking for charity, but that's his way of asking it.
Yeah.
Prophet Muhammad smiled and asked the man, give from charity, and turned around, did not say anything to him. He could avenge, he could retaliate, but he would forgive and he would pardon. Kafful adha, stopping oneself from harming.
Yeah.
The third part is bazlul ma'ruf. And a lot of people do not know, and this is actually a serious problem, what is the highest level of a Muslim according to Islam and according to the Prophet of Islam? Who is the best Muslim? Is it the Muslim that prays the most or fast the most or read Quran the most? No. خَيْرٌ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The most and the best of all Muslims are the most beneficial to all people. All people meaning Muslim, non-Muslim, and Muslim.
All people.
How beneficial to every living soul around you.
Amazing.
That would make you a better Muslim, or for that matter, the best Muslim you can possibly be. These are good manners.
Tell us now, someone says, you know what, I like that smiling part. You know, that's good, that's good. So the brother, we catch him, you know, looking at someone he's not, and say, hey, look, I heard on the Dean show that, you know, I should smile more. So she or he is smiling at the opposite gender and say, hey, I'm just trying to, you know, bring.
No, halal smile. A loud smiling, inshallah, that's a good point.
Okay, so this is for, how is that, define that, just elaborate on that a little bit. So that's also modesty is in the mannerisms also, that we conduct ourselves, and when you said something, halal.
Halal means, you know, everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put, as you say, always blueprint for us.
Blueprint.
And the blueprint is only for your benefit.
Yeah.
Whatever the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said halal, that's for your good.
Yeah.
Whenever said haram, haram actually, if you look at it, it's the same word as spelled as harm with one difference
harm.
Of a letter.
So yes. Harm you.
Whatever that harms you, whatever that hurts you, whether you're aware of it or not, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made haram for you. It's all for your benefit and your protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator of the universe that is 13.8 billion light years wide, does not need your charity or your bowing or whatever that you do. He put you in a test. Are you going to be grateful to the life that I gave you or not? Are you going to be courteous and helpful and forgiven and pardoning and merciful to people or not? So when you come on judgment day, at the day when the result of the test happens, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mercy, put me in paradise. Forgive me, put me in paradise. Pardon me, put me in paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you, were you merciful when you could? Were you forgiven when you could? Did you pardon people when you could? Were you grateful to all the blessings that I gave you for free or not? And that's what life is about.
Yeah, we've kind of gone away from that. I mean, when you say manners, most people think about helping an old lady across the street, opening a door for somebody, saying thank you, you're welcome. Now, we do those things, and do we go beyond that?
Absolutely. It's your behavior. Manners is your behavior. These things are nice things, and they're good etiquettes. And a good etiquette is a good manner. But about the generality of things, everything, are you beneficial? Are you courteous? Are you hurtful? Or, you know, are you a source of help, you know, helping people and caring for people? That is what the whole religion is about. It's how to practically show what's in your heart.
Now, people are getting a different perception here, because many people from maybe just watching the media, or maybe even, I mean, you have some Muslims who aren't acting in accordance with Islam.
Yes.
So how do you differentiate, you know, the person that might have seen a Muslim acting opposite to what you're saying? Say, hey man, this is what you're talking about is gibberish, because the Muslims that I know, they're not acting like this. They might be swearing. I see them at the nightclub. You know, they're not opening no doors for me. They're acting totally opposite of this. How do we differentiate what you're saying, you know, from the actions of some who are doing the opposite?
That's a valid question, but the answer is even simpler.
Yes.
There's a difference between the law and the criminals.
Gotcha.
Islam is the law that criminals should be judged by when they commit the crime. The law is not judged or shaped or identified or defined by the behavior of criminals. These Muslims who not abide by the law, they committed the crime of, you know, not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you compare their behavior and try to judge that Islam is that, is that simply you are judging the judge and the court system and the law by the behavior of the man who just broke the law itself, which is
that makes
totally
sense.
Illogical.
Like you said, the answer is simpler than the question.
Yes.
Amazing, amazing. We're going to take another break and we'll be back for more here on The Dean Show.
It comes to you the truth and the attribute of the one who created you, that he's one and alone running this universe, that he doesn't become born, he doesn't die, he doesn't eat and then go to the bathroom. This is not God.
The problem here is,
yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Who was Jesus worshiping? Because it's recorded in the Gospels. Despite all of the other issues about the Gospels, we put those aside, we just say it's mentioned there that Jesus worshiped God. One who protects us
from hunger. Back here on The Dean Show with Imam Mustafa Zaid. Now, when I started the program, we mentioned the five pillars, one of which is the most important, that one, he acknowledges what's ingrained in his very nature, that there is no God but the one God.
Yes.
Man is not a God, woman is not a God, but the one who created man and woman, the one God.
Yes.
Creator of Jesus, Moses, Abraham, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, they all worship the one God.
Yes.
Now, there's that foundation, then the establishment of the prayers five times a day, paying of the zakat, the poor due tax, and the fasting during the month of Ramadan, and the hajj. So now, this is heavy on the scales.
Yes.
But now when you compare mannerisms, some people might be doing this, but now they have bad manners and they don't repay their debts. They gossip. They backbite, getting in other people's business.
Yes.
Is this all under the pretense of good manners? And how heavy is it when you implement good manners?
Actually, that's a very good question, because the very famous hadith that almost every Muslim knows, the hadith of the pillars of Islam. Islam was built upon the five pillars that you said. The most important and key word in the hadith is bunya, built upon. This is the foundation of a building. You don't dig a huge hole, put concrete and, you know, fortified steel, and just level it with the ground and walk away. That's the foundation of the building of Islam. The mm-hmm. building of Islam mm-hmm. cannot be found without that foundation, but the foundation is not the entire building of Islam. Now, what is that building? That building is the mannerism of Islam. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, أَثْقَلُ مَا يُوضَعُ فِي مِيزَانِ الْعَبْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, the heaviest thing that can be put in the scale of one on Judgment Day, not reading Quran, not fasting, not nawafil, it is حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ and taqwallah. Taqwallah wa husnul khuluq. Fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and good manners. And if you think about it, fear and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, good manners are the two sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm not going to hurt. I'm not going to gossip. I'm going to be courteous. I'm going to be helpful. I'm going to be charitable. I'm not going to say a foul word. I'm not going to hurt anyone with whatever strength that I have, whatever blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given me. I'm going to use that to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to transgress and hurt people with. And that's the essence of Islam. And that's why Islam spread and still spreading exponentially. The largest Muslim country in the world, Indonesia, you know, there was no battle to open Indonesia for Islam. It was four merchants. When they went to the market after accepted Islam, to the shock of everybody, they said, you know what, before we quote you the price, this is what's wrong with that piece of textile. This is what's wrong with that horse. Wow. Before they quoted people prices, people were shocked. And after they'd done their business, people asked them, we never seen that honesty and your demeanor and your cleanliness. What's going on? What do you call that? They call that Islam. And these Indonesians that actually asked that question and accepted Islam, they did not accept Islam as a title, but the mannerism of Islam that these people showed. And they showed that, and that's how 230 million Indonesians are Muslims today.
That is amazing. It's amazing. And the seriousness of good manners, because isn't it also emphasized that now you can be praying and you can be doing all the acts of worship, but at the end of the day, on the day of judgment, if you did all these evil things, that you're going to be losing your good deeds. If you had bad manners, gossiping, backbiting, you know, being deceitful, lying, all these, this is bad manners. Aren't you going to lose your good deeds?
Actually, praying and fasting and charity, all these obligations, all these prayers of Islam, is to strengthen your belief in God so much that you go outside and show you the manners of Islam.
So there might be a deficiency in your prayer, because it's supposed to make your manners better.
Absolutely. The good manners of Islam is the fruit of Iman.
Yeah.
You have a tree. The root of the tree is the belief in the oneness of God. The worshipping is the trunk of that tree. And then when you worship correctly and you have the correct Iman and the solid Iman, you're going to see the fruits in everything that you do and deal with people in.
That goes back, this is another topic of itself. You should know what you're saying in the prayer. Some people going up and down, getting exercise, but if you're not benefiting from that prayer, benefiting meaning now, it's not changing your life, helping you to stay away from evil, developing your character, there's some maybe deficiency in your prayer.
Even by definition, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ talks about the reward in salah. لَكُمْ مَا عَقِلْتُمْ. In your prayers, what are you going to get? The reward that you get is what you comprehend in your prayers. That's where the reward is. Prayers is not an exercise of bowing and moving your back or just moving your lips. You need to understand and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mean what you say as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is standing right there before you.
So that goes back to really knowing Islam, reading the Quran, the verbatim word of God with understanding, knowing the example of the last
Prophet
with understanding.
The reason for the Quran is to make tadabbur, to comprehend the Quran. A lot of people think that reading the Quran is, you know, phonetically pronouncing the Arabic words. Yes, there's a reward for that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the purpose of the Quran is for us to comprehend it and apply it in when we're dealing with people in our practical manners.
But some people, you know, they kiss the Quran, they put it on the shelf, and now it comes out when somebody dies, and they'll read the Quran, it got a bunch of dust on it. Is that what the Quran was sent for?
No, Quran is, that's actually the blueprint for all mankind to live the most fulfilling, satisfying, joyful life on your way to paradise. There's meaning, there's logic, there's sense, there's spirit, there's everything that you need in your life. And even the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, his tradition is came to explain the Quran and make it easy for us by the practical example of the manners of Prophet Muhammad.
Amazing, amazing. We're out of time. How can people get a hold of you? And you're also the author of a wonderful book called The Lies About Muhammad, peace be upon him. How can they get your book and how can they get
the
a hold of
you? The book is available online, inshallah. It's on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. And actually, you can follow my blog and my recent articles on thelizaboutmuhammad.com, inshallah.
Amazing. Thank you very much. May God Almighty, the Creator Allah, reward you.
Jazakallah khairan, brother.
You too. Thank you. Manners in Islam. And Islam, by now you know that it means to acquire this peace that we're all looking for by submitting your wants, your needs, your desire to submit your will to God's will, to the Creator's will. This is Islam. And then we talked about manners. I don't know about you, but I love to sit with people such as Imam Mustafa Zaid and other people, scholars that we've had on the show, because this is how we become better Muslims, through knowledge and then implementing the knowledge by action. It's amazing. Keep coming back here to the Deen Show to learn more. I'm learning more and I'm getting excited learning more, because the more we learn about Islam, the more it just entices us to do more, to be better human beings, to be better husbands, sons, daughters. I mean, this is the blueprint. We got to learn the blueprint. We got to live by it. And I hope that you really got to benefit. I sure did. We'll see you next time here on the Deen Show. Until then, peace be unto you.